The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
Welcome into another edition of the Brad Sesmatt Show here on Sports360AZ.com. I am Mark Asher, filling in for Brad today, as we have a lot of stuff going on here. Coming up in the next couple of minutes, looking forward to it, and always good to be back with you here on the airwaves. I am excited about some of our guests that will be joining us. I always seem to come in on a Thursday. It's Throwback Thursday, which is why you guys called me to come in here and fill in.
That's very good.
Yeah, so that's good. Throwback Thursday, a little Mark Asher style.
And you kind of are our Thursday guy now that I think about it.
I know,
it.
I kind of feel like Thursday is like my day here. Like, I don't know if it's meant to be that way, but, you know, I'm cool. I like it. I like Thursdays.
We're happy to have you.
Sometimes a little slow at the office in my new world, so I appreciate the opportunity. But I really like Thursdays, especially during the football season, because I come in here and I find out that in about 10 minutes, I'm going to have one of the all-time great ASU football players, very good NFL player, great college player, finalists in the Heisman race way back in the day. Jake the Snake Plumber is going to join us here in 10 minutes on Sports360AZ.com. So we'll talk to Jake about, you know, a lot of stuff. He's working with the Pac-12 Network. He joins Brad every week here on the show. And, you know, I want to talk to him about, ASU, Mike Norvell and his new deal. It's a lot of money for a deputy head coach, whatever the heck that means. And, I'm just looking forward to catching up with Jake. It's bowl season right around the corner. All 99 bowls. I got 99 problems, but which bowl is one? That's the question, because there's so many bowl games these days. But ASU's in a good one. The Holiday Bowl is a top-notch bowl, in my opinion. It's not the Rose Bowl. Would have been nice. They couldn't take care of business. However, the Holiday Bowl is a good parting gift, if you will. And they take on a Texas Tech team that they should beat. So you're going to have a team that you should beat. You're going to have people from the state of Texas watching. And if you can win that game, it's just more momentum moving on as Todd Graham and the Sun Devils try to build a real program here at ASU. So that's coming up in just a little bit. Also, later on, bottom of the hour, Clark Judge, longtime NFL insider. He'll preview Week 16. Man, there's a lot of big games going on this weekend. There's a lot of moving and shaking. None of these teams can get out of their own way. Who's going to take over? Who's going to take hold? Will it be the Detroit Lions? Will it be the Arizona Cardinals? Will it be the San Francisco 49ers? Carolina? Who's it going to be? Green Bay? Chicago? All these teams in the mix, and that's just the NFC. AFC still got a lot of moving parts as well. So we will visit with Clark Judge, talk about that, maybe bring up the Cowgirls. I have one Cowboy friend, I have one. I'm only allowed to have one friend that roots for the Dallas Cowboys. His name is Big John Bullock, and he's a hunk. And he always gets really mad at me. I call him the biggest Tony Romo apologist there is. And when the Cowboys lose, I used to text him, ha ha, Cowboys suck, you know. You know what I do now? I just go, hey, I texted him the other day, 2 weeks ago. I go, hey, I was checking, my phone's messed up. My calendar's not working. What month is it? Sent that text, right? Wait about 20 seconds. Sent another text. Never mind. I just turned on the Cowboys game. Must be December.
Oh!
Ow!
And you can't get much worse than Sunday. I mean, we've all seen some pretty big collapses. But you're
awesome.
Ahead, what, 26-3, 29-3 at halftime, and you get beat by Matt Flynn in Dallas?
Awful. And then another text was fired out soon after that game in Green Bay. And I just said, is it still December? He doesn't like it very much. And then he calls me and tries to say, what would you do? What would you do, Tony Romo? Where's Tony Romo? I said, I don't know where he lives, ranks. He's not my top 10, I'll tell you that much. He's probably 12 or 13, but it's just, I've never seen a guy get such a hall pass like Tony Romo. More on that in a minute. We'll talk to Clark Judge coming up at the bottom of the hour. And then we got some other stuff that we'll hit on as well. Let's kind of get it started right now. We're going to find out what's going on in the world of sports. And when we do that, it is brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. just 3 miles south of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. It's ski season, yeah, buddy, or snowboard. When you head up to Sunrise Ski Resort, make sure you stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. So what is going on in the world of sports? We'll get to our Facebook question in just a minute because I already read it, E. I like it. I want to talk about it. So we're going to go there in a second. But first, let's talk about some of the stuff happening right in our own backyard here. The Phoenix Suns fall to the San Antonio Spurs. 108-101 last night, snapping the Suns' five-game winning streak. Now, look, I'm going to be the first to tell you, this Suns team is fun to watch again. Because, I was here last year, remember? And I was just like, this is brutal. I mean, I wouldn't even watch games last year. That's how bad it was. Like, I could find 15 other things to do. And some of those included things I didn't even want to do. Like, I don't know, clean the house or take out the garbage or, you know, whatever. But I would find something else to do just so I didn't have to watch Phoenix Suns game. This year, different story. I want to watch this team. It's fun. It's exciting. Jeff Hornacek. How about this guy? Who knew Horny was such a good coach? You know, the GM. I like it. The GM is doing some nice things. Young, innovative mind. I like it. They're stockpiling assets, too. By the way, this team won't look like this next year, guaranteed, or in the years to come. Will not look this way. That's not a bad thing. They're going to improve. They're going to keep the assets they want. They're going to move some assets, and they're going to acquire better players so they can beat a team like the San Antonio Spurs. Damn Ginobili again. 11 of his 24 points scored in the final 4 minutes of that game. Ah! And the Spurs didn't even have Tony Parker. No Parker. He sits out. Dragic and Bledsoe were awful as far as their shooting percentage, 12 of 33 from the field. I won't say they were awful, but they didn't shoot well. And that's probably because Tony Parker didn't play in the game, believe it or not. Parker's not exactly a top-notch defender. So they had other guys in there having to make up the time, and Dragic and Bledsoe struggled a little bit. Channing Frye had a nice game, good first quarter. And Plumlee had the double-double, but it wasn't enough. Suns had gone up. They were up 95-93. It was about five to go. Plumlee had that putback. About 5 minutes left, and the Suns are up, and then Ginobili and the Spurs just took over. And it's just a small sign to me that this team is, they're good, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. They're not that good. They're good. They're better than a lot of people thought they were going to be, but they're not that good just yet. The Spurs proved that. I mean, without one of their best players, Tony Parker, they still were able to go on the road and win. But hey, the Suns have won five in a row. You know, the over-under on the Suns wins this year in Vegas was 19. 19. How many wins they got right now? 12? Like, they're going to get that. So, hey, they're playing way better than we thought. I don't want them to be too mediocre because then that gets you a, you know, stupid 11th, 12th, 13th pick in the draft. You know, the idea was kind of to be really bad this year and get a top five pick and get one of those young studs that's coming out, but I don't think that's going to happen. All right, E, let's this is good. Let's go to today's Facebook question of the day.
Well, we do one of these, Mark, every day. Sports360AZ, Facebook.com/Sports360AZ. And I got up this morning, I popped on the Today Show like I do, and they were interviewing one of the two Mega Million jackpot winners.
What was his name?
It was a she.
What was she's name?
I don't remember. Someone from, I believe it was Georgia.
Uh-huh.
So we ask you today, if you were one of the two lucky winners, she's going to net about $126
million.
That's it? Yeah, that's it.
It was $600 million.
Taxes.
I know. Taxes. And then if you take the lump sum, and then there were
correct.
Two winners, right?
Yep.
Because they were saying if one person won it, it was $341 million was the payout. After taxes and lump sum,
stupid.
$341, which is $12 million more than Alex Rodriguez has made in his career.
Wow. That's interesting how you put that in perspective. And clearly, we didn't win because we're here today.
No,
but anyway.
Yeah, I would have canceled on you. Just
if like you happen to be one of the two winners and you could buy ownership in any one of the Arizona professional teams, which would you choose, Mark?
If I could own one of the NFL
teams. I don't know if you could, I don't know if you could buy, I don't know if you could buy a whole
answer.
And we're on the same page because I would say
it's the Arizona Cardinals.
Easily.
No,
you know why? You know why?
It's a cash cow.
Exactly.
It's a cash cow. I would not buy the Coyotes. Love them. God love them, but I wouldn't buy the Coyotes.
You work in the financial world and you're all about return on investment.
Yeah.
The NFL,
ROI.
The NFL is the epitome.
But you pay
of
more
a good
for
investment.
The NFL.
Correct.
The Cardinals are probably, I mean, how much would the Cardinals go for? A billion?
Quite a bit.
800 million?
With the TV deals,
I wouldn't
deals,
be able to
though.
Buy it. I'd have to get another couple millionaires to
the
hang
NFL
out with.
The NFL will always make money because of the TV deals. It's just a no-brainer.
It's a done deal.
Yep, they're printing money
I
in
would
the NFL.
Say my next team would be the Suns. Then I'd buy the Diamondbacks and then the Coyotes, assuming I had the money.
I would agree.
Yeah, I just think. Now, hey, did you see this story? I put it on my Facebook page. It's fake. It's got to be fake. There's this California Mega Millions winner was the first to come forward. And I'm reading this story. Guy named Paul Horner. It's on my Facebook page right now. It's got to be fake because it's one of those, you know, kind of satire websites, the National Report. But they're going on about this guy. And I'm reading this story and he's talking about how he likes little people clothes and now he can buy a lot of little people clothes. It's
oh,
one
wow.
of the strangest things I've ever seen in my life. But I knew it was fake because it was the next day. Usually if you're I can't believe the girl was on the Today Show or whatever. Because usually, as I am in the financial world, if you win the Mega Millions, you win 120, you stay low. Well, they call it the down low. You're on the DL for a while. You got to get your ducks in a row. You got to get your lawyers. And you got to tell all your friends and your family. You got to hide. Because that ticket could go away. If you know what I mean. Looking forward to Jake the Snake Plumber. Talk some college football. Bowl season is here. I am Mark Asher filling in for Brad Sesmatt. This is the Brad Sesmatt Show on Sports360AZ.com.
Miller feeds it Carlos Hyde right side to the 20, to the 15, to the 10. Hyde still chugging his way. He goes backwards to the 10, forward to the 5, dives for the end zone.
It's time to talk college football.
Underneath, they got a screen play. It's inside the 10-yard with the football. Touchdown, number 2. It's Rashad Green again.
Taking you inside the huddle with ASU legend and Pac-12 Network studio analyst Jake Plummer. Presented exclusively by the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
Tipped off, and Lewis got it on the touchdown. Lewis is going to score.
Here again, Brad Sesmatt.
It is the Brad Sesmatt Show here on Sports360AZ.com. No Brad today. I'm Mark Asher filling in, and always a pleasure to have our next guest on. Got to catch up with him a couple weeks ago or a month ago, whenever I filled in, and looking forward to doing so once again. He is the former Sun Devil, former Cardinal, Bronco quarterback, Jake Plummer, and now a Pac-12 network analyst. And, of course, this segment is brought to you by our great friends over at the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, UCF, Central Florida, and Baylor. Could be a high-scoring game coming up in a few weeks with the Fiesta Bowl. But right now, let's welcome on Jake Plummer. Jake, Mark Asher, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas, all that good stuff. You got anything special planned the next week or so?
Well, actually, today's my birthday, so, you know, just having a good day. Started out the day with my little guy who's 5 months old, and my other little boy came down. He was almost 3 and a half, came down, and had a little Christmas, had a little birthday presents and a little breakfast. Yeah, it's been a good day, and the holidays are always fun, especially now with the youngin' around. So.
All right, now I got to think here, because you and I are close in age. I'm a little, you're 36 now, 37?
39, man.
You're 39?
Yeah.
Me
time
too.
Flies.
I thought I was a little older than you. Yeah, I'm 39. Yeah, you know what's coming next year, right?
Oh yeah, but that's all right. That's just another decade to start a new decade. Man.
Exactly.
Right.
My
30s have been good. So.
40s the new 30 or some crap
yeah.
like that. Hey, I got to ask you real quick before we get to sports. All right, you got a 3.5-year-old. You doing the elf on the shelf thing yet?
Oh yeah.
Right. What's your elf's name?
Alvin.
Alvin the elf.
He named him Alvin. He chose that name, and he doesn't think Alvin can see through walls, but we told him he can see everything.
Oh, he can see everything.
He's already scheming, man.
It's unbelievable. The first thing, my son Jackson, and his elf is named Jack, by the way, real original there. So Jack the elf, and that's the first thing. You wake up in the morning, it's like, Dad, we got to go find Jack. I'm like,
yeah.
All right. And this morning, I wake up, you know, the wife and I wake up, and he comes in, he goes, Dad, we need to go find Jack. And I said, yeah. And my wife got up to get a drink or something. I said, hey, can you check the dog food real quick to the wifey? Because that was code for, we did not move the elf last night. So can you go do that real quick while I keep him busy? So anyway, it's fun, though, 3.5, and then obviously you got your new one there, first Christmas. So enjoy
it's fun
that.
Times, man. The holiday spirit is alive and well down here right now.
It's awesome. Hey, the Heisman went out. Jameis Winston takes it home. Take me back to that whole time in your life. You know, you got the Heisman stuff going on. I mean, a whirlwind, obviously a great season for ASU, and you guys got a big bowl game on the horizon. But then, you know, the banquet circuit was definitely on for Jake the Snake at the time, huh?
Yeah, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was really an honor for for me to be the representative of our team. And I had a good year. I didn't put up huge numbers. It's just the way we won some games and the way, you know, we just never gave up as a team. You know, that was kind of, I was honored to be the guy that got to get to go to, you know, down to Orlando and go to the College Football Awards and then go into the Heisman. I mean, that was a thrill. I mean, what kid doesn't want to be at the Heisman ceremony, one of the candidates? I mean, it was just an awesome time. My whole family, we had a great time, and Coach Snyder, Coach Cazzetto. I mean, it was just a good time all around, and I wanted to have my whole team there, you know. I wanted everyone to be there, but we were gearing up for the Rose Bowl, and so I took it kind of a little serious, you know. I had a little bit of fun, but basically it was down just to get to meet some of those other great players and be surrounded by them, and you know, it was a lot of fun. I was happy to see Jameis Winston win it. I think he was definitely probably the most outstanding player in college football, and like to see Jordan Lynch was third, which was a respectful third for him. That was awesome. I got third also in the Heisman voting, and I thought it was just cool that he got to go to that. I mean, it was a smaller college QB, kind of neat for him. I'm sure he'll remember that forever.
I'm trying to remember back. So Werfel won it, right, when you were there. And then
yeah,
Werfel. Was Pace second?
Troy Davis was second.
Troy Davis, okay.
Yep, and then Pace was fourth after me.
Pace was after you. All right, well, at least you beat the offensive lineman, right? That's good.
Exactly, yeah. The voters had a little bit of clue there.
Yeah, and, you know, I would imagine, and back then, maybe the media not quite like it is now, but, you know, you get this invite to go to, you know, to the Heisman ceremony, and now they're doing, you know, these you know, 4 or 5 minute long pieces on you and sit downs and interviews. I mean, the whole world gets to know you real, you know, up close and personal. I would imagine for these kids, it can only help them. I mean, you know, whether it's a pro career or, you know, you can always say, yeah, I was there at the Heisman, you know, ceremony. Even if, I mean, you know, those other four guys, they knew they weren't winning. Winston was winning this award.
Yeah.
And I'm probably assuming you didn't really think you were going to win, but you knew you were there and representing ASU, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, it's an opportunity to represent your school. And for me, you know, I wasn't a Heisman candidate to begin the year. It kind of happened after we beat Nebraska and then beat UCLA. And it just kind of, I emerged as a guy that was going to be in the running and had a great season all the way through. Knew I probably, you know, there was no chance to probably win it. But just to be there was awesome. And I, you know, be honest with you, when they got ready to make the announcement, my heart fluttered. My stomach got turned a little bit thinking, oh, my God, what if it is me, you know?
Oh, wow.
Because there still was a chance. But, sure. You know, it was just an honor to be there, to be considered one of the most outstanding, you know, football players in the country. And thinking back, it was a long time ago, but, man, what a great time. We all had a great time as a team and as coaches. And then, you know, a lot of those guys we get together, we always start talking about those days because those were some of the best in our lives.
Oh, yeah, they were the best. Jake Plummer, former Sun Devil, our guest here, now Pac-12 Network studio analysts, brought to you by the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl here on the Brad Sesmatt Show, sports360az.com. You know, the best times of your life back then, ASU trying to build it again. And I give Todd Graham a lot of credit. I think what he's doing is great. I'm sure you heard the news. You know, the offensive coordinator was interviewing for some smaller jobs, Arkansas State, and they end up, you know, ponying up. The guy's making, you know, almost close to $1 million a year as a coordinator, and they're keeping their staff intact. You know, Todd's not going anywhere. I really kind of feel like he has the opportunity to build something here pretty special. Bruce did a good job of it. You know, Dirk never really got it going, and then Erickson, I think, was just a stopgap guy. I really feel Todd Graham has a chance here to build something special at ASU.
Yeah, I think you're right out there. I mean, he's already just what he's done in 2 years. You can see a shift in the program and the structure of it and how everybody goes about their business. The kids are focused. The kids know it's when it's time to have fun, when it's time to get focused, and like he says, dial in and get ready to do what they're supposed to be doing there. You know, obviously taking care of schoolwork is A1 importance. I think he's made a push for that. but also just to make sure you're prepared as a football player. And I, you know, when I talked to Taylor Kelly last spring, just kind of wanted to reiterate to him and let him know that this is the only time in your life like this that everything's going to be done for you, you know, for your success. And they're doing lots of good stuff over at that the facility there, and bringing back former players and getting these kids to understand it's going to take hard work. You don't just build a nice facility and have, you know, keypad locker rooms with smelly, good smelling stuff in them or whatever, like up in Oregon. I mean, you still got to go out, work hard, get your nose down in the dirt and get down and get tough and dirty. And I think that's what he's brought to that program. And I'm glad to see him staying. You know, it's college. The college landscape is a different one, you know, with all the coaches leaving, and always there's a better job, a greener pasture here or there. But I really hope Coach Graham will stay here for a while, because what he started, you know, obviously you can see it. It's starting to become contagious. The kids are believing. And once that happens, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah, it's nice to see it started. It'd be nicer to see it finished, if you know what I mean. Jake, I want to talk to you about the guys down south. I know you don't like to utter their name a lot, but as a Pac-12 network analyst, you have to. Kadeem Carey, this kid's a heck of a running back. I mean, from the Tucson area, I just when I watch him, I see a pro running back. Like, I there's good college running backs. You're like, oh, that's a good college running back, but you go, I don't know if he's going to make it in the NFL. This guy, I see him being an NFL running back. And now there's a big debate on whether or not he'll come back. He's kind of being coy, whether he's going to come back for his senior year or not. You know, I love college, and I love guys that go back and stuff. I'm not sure if it makes sense for this guy to pass up what I think would probably be, at least worst case scenario, a second round draft pick.
Yeah, you know, I think he's going to have to think long and hard about what decision to make. You know, it's a tough one, because I see that kid playing, and he plays hard for his teammates and for his school. He obviously is from Tucson, CDO. You know, he's a guy that wants to help build something there, and they're right on the cusp down there. I mean, they had a great season this year. They did things no one really expected. We're bringing in a new quarterback next year, but you know, if he stays, it's only going to make football that much better in the state. You know, because they're going to be that much more of a challenge for ASU, and it's good when they win down there. It's good when both teams are winning. You know, if he does leave, though, he definitely has the skills. He has all the skills you need to make it in the NFL. You know, it's a big jump for a running back. You got to learn how to pass protect a lot better than you do in college these days. That'll be a big adjustment for him. But other than that, I mean, his ability to find the hole, to finish runs, to find those little creases and make a zero gain, turn it into a 3 or 4 yard gain, he's just master at it. And I love his style. I like his attitude on the field. He plays really, really hard, and he only gets better the longer the longer the game goes, and the more runs, more touches he gets. So that's a sign to me of a solid running back that's got a chance to have a future in the NFL, and I think he definitely has one.
Jake Plummer, our guest here on the Brad Sesmatch Show, Sports360AZ.com. I'm Mark Asher, filling in for Brad today. You know, I look around this Pac-12 now. Man, this is like a who's who of coaches. Tree, if you will. I mean, you know, Peterson just comes in now at UW. You got Mora, you got Graham, you got Rodriguez down in Tucson, and you know, some of the guys have been a little longer. And then, of course, David Shaw, whose name keeps popping up at, you know, all these other jobs, but he continues to stay at Stanford. This is about as good as I've seen it in a long time.
Yeah, there's some high quality coaches across this conference. You know, and that's where it starts. You know, hopefully these guys, they're bopping and bouncing around a lot. I know Sarkisian, I think he landed a job that he'd like to have for a long time at USC.
Sure.
Peterson, you know, it's a great new challenge for him up at University of Washington. That's a program that I see, and I think, you know, watch out for them, because he's just a great coach. He really knows how to do it, knows how to get those diamonds in the rough that are local kids, but also put together a great belief system in his players, and they play hard for him. He saw what he did at BSU. You know, and across the board, I mean, David Shaw, he continues to just play basic football, beat you with just the X's and O's, keeping it simple, but doing it very well, executing it very efficiently, and he's a great coach. You know, I don't know if he'll go somewhere, but I think what they have set up down there at Stanford for their coaches is a really nice situation, from what I understand, and they live on campus, and they're close to everything, and their families are all around, and it's just they have a good thing set up down there. I think more schools will probably model their setup after Stanford, and be hard to leave when you know when your chances to win a national title just keep getting better and better. I mean, they're to me the best team in the country still, maybe one or two. I'd love to see them get a shot at Auburn or FSU. But, you know, the way it shakes out with the Pac-12 playing 9 conference games, you know, we kind of hurt ourselves in that regard. And so, you know, eventually we'll get someone in that title game, and next year the playoffs, hopefully we'll find one of our teams in there and they can battle it out. But great coaches across the board and a lot of talent. It was a lot of fun watching every one of the teams play this year.
Hey, you were up in Boise for quite some time after your playing days, right?
Yeah, I'm born and raised there.
Yeah, but did you go back after you stopped playing in the NFL?
Did I go back there?
Yeah.
No, I still have family there. I get back there, you know, a few times a year to see family and friends.
I just wondered, Peterson, he kind of stuck it out there for a long time, you know, and you know, I think 8-9 years he was there, and his name always came up for big jobs, and he just never left, and then this year he decided, okay, I guess this is the year to go. I agree with you. I think the guy's a brilliant mind, and you watch out
for
UW. He's
a great coach. You know, what he said, what I heard him say was that he was just ready for a new challenge, a new phase in his life. And, you know, what greater, you know, thing to show kids as an example as a head coach with that much success. And he said it was time for him to grow, to get a chance to grow a little more. And that's what you do when you're a kid coming out of high school. The ones that do well, they grow in college. They end up challenging themselves, rising up to them, and learning and becoming men. And he's a great leader of kids and a great coach. So I see good things coming up there. There'll be a lot of pressure on him because, you know, UW wants a title. They want to win the Pac-12 and get back in the national title hunt. And that'll be his main thing. The expectations he has set for himself will be probably the hardest thing for him to live up to.
All right, we got a few more days. Don't forget to move the elf. It's important.
Yeah. We have fun with it, man. It's a great time. You know, it's like you said, that gets late around 10 o'clock. Like, oh, man, we haven't put the elf out. But we do a good job. My wife's pretty clever. And, we'll keep moving him around and making sure that he keeps our son in check.
Yeah, he told me this morning that the elf wasn't being as funny as he was last year. So I guess we got to step up our game here for the next week.
Step it up.
All right, JK, always a pleasure, man. I appreciate it. Have a great holiday with the family. Enjoy. And bowl games galore coming right around the corner. So I know you'll be watching, and we'll catch up down the road. All right, bud?
Awesome. Hey, thanks, Mark. You have a happy holidays, too. And everyone down in the valley, Merry Christmas.
Sounds good, Jake. Jake the Snake Plumber, former Sun Devil, Cardinal, Bronco, and all-around great guy. And now a studio analyst with the Pac-12 Network. So he breaks it down for them. I always felt like Jake kind of went into, I don't want to say hiding after, you know, he finished the NFL, but he laid low. And then now he's kind of back, and I think I could see him, you know, mentoring some quarterbacks. He did with one of the kids last year. I think the kid coming out of Kansas State, he kind of helped out a little bit. What was his name? Colin Klein, yeah. And I could see Jake doing more of that. But always great to catch up with him. Funny story about the elf. All right, sports360az.com is where you're at. This is the Brad Sesmatt Show. I'm Mark Asher filling in today. When we come back, Clark Judge from the NFL will talk a little bit about what's going on in Week 16. That's next on sports360az.com. This is the Brad Sesmatt Show on sports360az.com. I'm Mark Asher filling in for the big guy today, Brad, as we continue talking about what's happening in the world of sports. And I'm excited about our next guest joining us because the NFL is down to the final 2 weeks of the regular season. Sad but true. And but hey, you know what? This is when the real players come to play and make those postseason's dreams a reality. So let's welcome aboard Clark Judge to the program, our NFL insider here on the Brad Sesmatt Show. Clark, Mark Asher, how are you?
Hey, Mark, I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy holidays to you and the family as ready for Week 16. And then, of course, next week, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's go to Week 16 because there is so much stuff going on right now. So many teams have had opportunities to kind of clinch or, you know, put themselves in a better position, and they haven't been able to do that, and that's what makes some of these games so interesting this weekend. You know, I start with Detroit. I mean, this team went from first time they're going to make the playoffs than ever, and I don't think they're going to make it now, Clark.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, they've demonstrated they cannot be trusted. The quarterback makes a ton of mistakes. They're turning the ball over. They were at home last week on Monday night, had a perfect chance to close out Baltimore and really – win that division. I mean, you look at what they're doing, and they've got a chance to win that thing, and they can't do it. They go to Philadelphia the week before in the snow. They blow a 2-touchdown lead. They just can't be trusted. They turn the ball over so much and commit stupid penalties, especially on defense. I'm with you. I don't like them. If Aaron Rodgers plays, if Aaron Rodgers gets healthy, Green Bay's going to win that division.
Yeah, it's amazing. And Chicago's still right there with, you know, going with Josh McCown all those weeks.
But Chicago's got to go to Philadelphia, and then Chicago has to play Green Bay at the end.
Right, no, it's
and what
tough.
Do we know about Cutler versus Green Bay? He can't beat Green Bay. He's 1-7 against
them. Yeah, no, it might be the Packers, which is absolutely amazing. All right, let's go to the Cardinals here locally. The Arizona Cardinals are, you know, in this mix, a team that's in the running for the postseason.
Right.
Now, I've said before, and I'll say it again, I don't believe this team is going to make the playoffs just because there's so many variables that go into it. Too many teams that they're chasing, tiebreakers that don't go in their favor. I think it's going to be very difficult for Arizona, plus the matchup with Seattle this weekend. But, I mean, they still have had an unbelievable season for the Cardinals, considering most people thought this team was going to win, you know, 5 or 6 games.
Absolutely. I mean, if the season were to stop right now, Bruce Arians would get some votes for Coach of the Year again. And he deserves it. What he's done with that ball club, he's put them back on the map. I think it's a wonderful story what's going on in Arizona. And I'm with you. I not only don't think they will, I'm sure they won't make the playoffs. And for the very reason you stated, you've got to go to Seattle where nobody wins. And you come back against San Francisco. And I'm sorry, San Francisco's a better team.
Right.
To me, Seattle and San Francisco are the best two teams in football, not just the NFC, but the NFC West in football. That's why I think it's going to be very tough for Arizona. So I don't see them getting to the playoffs. Nevertheless, what a season. Great story, Bruce Arians. And honestly, Carson Palmer sort of redeeming himself and coming back when people said, you know, he's done. He's finished. You can't trust him. He's been pretty good. He's been very good.
Yeah, no, they've taken some chances. They took a little bit of a chance on Palmer. You know, they took some chances in the draft. Matthew from LSU,
yeah.
Obviously he's out now, but he was a great addition. They took a chance on bringing Carlos Dansby back, one of the fan
right.
favorites. He took the money in Miami, rightfully so. And then, you know, how he comes back on a discount. He's having a phenomenal year. Sometimes you have to do those types of things and be rewarded, and then have your other guys just get better. Michael Floyd's gotten better. Patrick Peterson's getting, you know, all these players are getting better. Calais Campbell, and it's all kind of coming together, which is nice.
No, that's right. To me, it all starts, though, with Palmer. You've got to solidify that position. The Cardinals hadn't since Kurt Warner left. They just hadn't had a viable quarterback. And the effect was felt most especially by Larry Fitzgerald. He's your best player. And now you got Fitzgerald back. I mean, I understand he's hurt. I know that. But, I mean,
right.
that's been back in terms of being a premier player again. The offense is moving. The defense is terrific. I mean, defense is really good. It's one of the premier defenses out there. So, as I said, it's a great story. Steve Keim, honestly, should get some recognition for executive of the year. He's not going to get it, I don't think, but he should get some recognition. He's done a good job there. I mean, the whole process, it's coming back, and that's the thing that's great. It's nice to have the Cardinals back, and that division is tough. You saw the last place St. Louis Rams drilled New Orleans last week. They're in
right.
last place. There's not a better division than the division that the Cardinals are in.
Nice segue by Clark Judge, NFL insider here on the Brad Sesmatt Show on Sports360AZ.com. New Orleans, Carolina. Big game this weekend. Ooh. And so you look at New Orleans, they're at Carolina. I've watched these two teams play a few weeks ago, and Carolina got jack stomped, okay?
Right.
But this game's in Carolina. New Orleans right. cannot play on the road. They're fine if you put the pretty dome over their head, but you get them on the road, and they're not the same team. Drew Brees is not the same quarterback. And if Carolina wins this game, they now jump into first place in that division, which a few weeks ago I don't think anyone would have saw coming, but Carolina went on that run. That's a big matchup this Sunday.
Huge matchup. To me, it's the best game of the weekend, and I'm with you on this. I mean, my head tells me Carolina. I'll tell you, my heart tells me New Orleans, simply because New Orleans knows the lay of the land. They've been here before. They know what it's like to get to the playoffs. They've got a quarterback who's one of the best out there, and they're playoff tested, and they know if they go in as a wild card, they're dead. I mean, whoever goes in of these two as a wild card is a dead team, because Cam Newton on the road, he's 11-12. And you're right about Drew Brees and this team. They're not the same outside the dome. They can't lose in the dome, but they're 3-4 outside. They're not very good.
Right.
And, you know, the turnover differential, the points, everything points towards Carolina here. We had a very tough game for New Orleans to win. It's going to be a close game, and most people expect Carolina. I guess I sort of do. I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't be shocked, simply because New Orleans is a desperate team now. They know if we're outside the dome, we're finished. We've got Drew Brees. He's got to play better than he did last week, right? Or he's got to play better than he did 2 weeks or 3 games ago, because they've lost 2 of the last 3. And in those 2 of the last 3, and it was Seattle in this one, he's looked awful. I mean, he's looked really bad. That can happen in Seattle. Shouldn't happen against St. Louis. They looked terrible last week. And that's a blueprint for Carolina. They can look at that and say, okay, now we know what to do. These guys are outside. They're not comfortable. Now we know what to do.
All right, I want to get your take on the Dallas Cowboys because I said at the beginning of the show, I have a Dallas Cowboys fan, right, a friend.
Oh, my condolences.
I have one. I only allow myself one, Clark. And I text him these last couple weeks. I go, hey, what month is it? My calendar's not working. And then I go, oh, never mind. I turn on the Cowboy game. It must be December. And he got really mad at me. And then I rip him about Romo and everything else. It's not all on Romo. It's not. But when you start looking at your track record, okay, if I'm a sales guy for a company and every, you know, for 4 months I do really, really well. And then the last month of the season, I always stink and our numbers are down. Eventually, someone's got to take responsibility. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I mean, it's not all on Romo. But heck, he's getting paid more money than any player in Dallas Cowboys history. He's the focus of that franchise. He's the foundation of that franchise. They threw a lot of money at him because they said, he's going to take us to the next level. Well, guess what? To get to the next level, you've got to win in December. And you're right. Whenever it's December, the clock strikes 12 with this guy. He's 11-17 in December in regular season games, 12-18 in December and January. And then you figure in the playoffs, 13-21, 1-3 in the playoffs. That's a franchise quarterback? No, it's not.
No.
I mean, that Sports Illustrated cover which said, I think he deserves our unconditional love. No, he doesn't. He deserves our unconditional contempt. He can't cut it. He cannot win big games. And last week, he's ahead 26-3 of a fourth-string quarterback who couldn't make it in Oakland, couldn't make it in Buffalo, and you're running the ball for 7.5 yards a pop and he wants to throw to pad his stats? Excuse me, but he deserves all of the criticism he got after that game. They should have won it. That was an easy win for him. They blew it. Hey, run the ball. And people say, well, they got a terrible defense. Well, then you know what? You know how you protect your defense? You run the ball and take time off the clock. He didn't do it, suffered the consequences, and he's suffering the criticism now, and he should.
So Philly wins that division, you think?
I do, and honestly, I don't think Dallas wins another game. I think Dallas goes to Washington and gets beaten this weekend.
Well, yeah, Kirk Cousins licking his chops, looking at that defense. I mean, he looked great last week, and you know, all of a sudden, Shanahan looks like he made the right call, even though it doesn't matter because he's.
Well, it's not
gone,
just Kirk Cousins. You look at Washington, that game last week against Atlanta, that told me something. We went for 2 points, which I like. They're going to go out to win, and they figure they've got nothing to lose. Now, what? They've got all they got to lose is another game, and the coach isn't coming back. He's not playing for his job. He's dead. So they're going to play loose, and they look at this and say, we're going to beat these guys. We're home. We're going to beat them, and I think they will.
Right. Hey, on Chip Kelly, there's all these rumors about him. Oh, maybe he'll go back to the coaching. Why? He's having success as a first-year NFL coach, and he still has that tag on him. Like, if he goes back to college, I think he still has, like, probationary period. So I don't see it happening. I know it's probably just internet fodder, but the guy's doing a good job in the pros, and it'll probably start a trend to where now some of these teams, because there's going to be a lot of openings at the end of this year, they're going to look at some of these college coaches.
Oh, no, they will. I don't see him going back to Texas either. He could be the king of Philadelphia right now. And as we mentioned earlier, I do think that they're going to win that division. And if they do, people in Philadelphia love him for now. I mean, people in Philadelphia just sort of inherently hate everything. They're not happy unless they're miserable, so at some point they'll turn on him. But I don't think he's going there, not this quickly. You know, if he were there 3 or 4 years, yeah, I could see him going back. But no, not this quickly. And you're right. I mean, his success, Jim Harbaugh's success, sure. It's going to be people going, where's the next Harbaugh? Where's the next Chip Kelly? I want to find the next college coach. But you got to be careful because for those guys, remember what Nick Saban did in the pros? Did nothing. Then he turned and ran back to the colleges. The same thing with Bobby Petrino. That was worse. He went through, I think, 13 games and then left. And he left his coaching staff high and dry. That was pretty bad. So you better be careful. But, yeah, there are going to be people looking at college. And I'll tell you the first guy on the list could be David Shaw from Stanford. But I saw what he said. He wants to be at Stanford. I live down in Palo Alto. I can understand why.
Right. Hey, I got about 20 seconds. Leave me with this. I put a gun to your head. I say, who's going to be in the Super Bowl from the AFC? What's your answer?
Oh, jeez.
I know it's hard. Sorry.
Who's my I'll say Denver with Cincinnati as a long shot.
Cincinnati, really? All right, okay. I still think it's Denver.
I don't trust Peyton Manning in the playoffs. He's 11. He's a 9-11 in the playoffs. 7-1-and-dones. I don't trust him. And if he has to play Tom Brady, is he going to beat him? Tom Brady has nothing around it, but he's 10-4 against Peyton Manning.
He owns
that said, I will tell you, Kansas City is another team I'd watch. I like teams that play defense. That's why I said Cincinnati. Kansas City plays defense too. I like them. Hopefully, they're not playing against Denver because Denver will beat them.
Right. All right, Clark. Hey, great stuff as always. Thanks for the visit. Have a great holiday, and we will talk to you down the road. Okay.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
There you go. Clark Judge, NFL insider on the Brad Sesmat Show. I am Mark Asher, filling in for the big guy, Brad Sesmat, right here on Sports360AZ.com. It's the Brad Sesmatt Show here on Sports360AZ.com. I'm Mark Asher. Glad to be with you on this Thursday, filling in for the big guy, Brad Sesmatt. And we got some Cardinals talk to get to in just a moment. First, want to remind you, Simply Sell It Now sells people's cars, trucks, motorcycles, RVs, boats, you name it. They can sell it. Let them sell your vehicle. No upfront costs, no hassle. Simply Sell It Now handles all of the details. Advertises, shows your vehicle, negotiates the price, closes the deal, handles all the paperwork. What could be better? Paperwork taken care of. Website, simplysellitnow.com. Check it out if you're looking to sell a vehicle. All right, let's get to it. The Arizona Cardinals in Seattle this weekend to take on the Seahawks. Oh, timing is everything, right? Well, this is not good timing to have to go on the road to play Seattle, a team that already beat you in your own house a few weeks ago. The Arizona Cardinals have had a fantastic, fantastic season. Wait, I can tell you right now, Vegas, I was in Vegas. The over-under on Cardinals wins for the season was like 5, I think, or 5.5 maybe. 5.5. Okay, that's taken care of if you had the over. They got 9 wins. They've guaranteed themselves a winning season. In a team, a year full of turmoil and change with Arians taking over, it's been fun.
Not to interrupt you, but you got me thinking something, Mark. Over-unders, because we both love the over-under.
I love over-under.
Suns coming in over.
Cardinals, yeah, that was 19.
Cardinals coming in over. Coyotes, I bet, are going to come in over.
Yeah.
I'm sure ASU football came in
they did.
As the over.
They were 7.5 wins.
I don't know what U of A football was, and it was I'm pretty sure U of A
were both 7.5.
Okay.
Don't ask me why I know this.
And I'm pretty sure U of A basketball, at the pace they're going, they're going to hit the over for whatever that's going to be.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Huh. Just a little trend. Just a little.
Trending.
Yeah, everybody loves Vegas trends. Continue.
Over.
Okay.
No, that's a good call. Look, the Cardinals, I'm so thrilled with Arians and what they've done. I'm so happy and I'm so excited for the future of this team again, where I was really starting to have my doubts. Really starting to have my doubts. Like, hey, maybe it's time to trade Larry Fitzgerald. Hey, maybe it's time to, you know, completely rebuild and start over. And now they don't have to do that. They have to tweak. They still need offensive line help. But let's not forget, you know, and I'm not trying to jump ahead. There's still 2 games that they could win. They probably won't, but they could win these last 2 games. I'm not trying to be a hater. I will say they're not going to make it, but they have a chance. If they win out, they're in the playoffs no matter what, right? They win out, they're in the playoffs no matter what.
Correct.
So you do that, you win out, 11 wins. I mean, that's, you know, that's fantastic. And now you look at some of the other things that you take into consideration, especially going into next year. Look, they're going to get Jonathan Cooper back. It's going to like it's going to be like having another first-round draft pick next year. I don't care where they're drafting next year. I don't care where. 18, 21st, 24th, whatever it is. Wherever they end up drafting, they should take the best left tackle available. Period. The end. Unless they feel like they can go get one in free agency. If you want to spend, the only money you spend is on a left tackle, then okay, fine. But you and I know the guy they liked was the guy from Kansas City, Albert, but he got injured. He's out for the year. I think he blew his leg up. So I don't know what the demand will be on him. So anyway, the Arizona Cardinals have Seattle this weekend, and there's so many things that go into this game and so many things that go into making the playoffs. You've got Carolina against, you know, New Orleans. If you're a Cardinal fan, you have to hope Carolina loses. You have to hope Carolina loses. You know, because Carolina goes to Atlanta the next week. And you heard Clark Judge say, you know, Cam Newton on the road isn't very good. So there's a chance that you could get in without winning all of your games, but it'd be difficult. You'd have to have a lot of stuff go in your favor. And that's just what's tough. You know, the NFC this year is good, you know. Not necessarily the NFC East, but everyone else is playing, you know, above par as far as the playoff contenders are concerned. And it helps that, you know, some teams that people, you know, Washington was a playoff team last year. They're out, you know. Atlanta was a Super Bowl contender. They're out. So there's a lot of, you know, a lot of things that went into your favor that was, you know, allowed you to you know, get into the position you're in. And you won some games. Man, you look back, think about that St. Louis game. Ugh. If you win that game, oh, man, you're up. You're up by 10 in the fourth. Got to win that game. Bruce Arians talked about the Seattle Seahawks, and he acknowledged that they're good, but they're not unbeatable.
I think they're a very good team, but I think they've lost to some games this year to teams we beat. So I think, you know, that they're a very good football team. You know, dominating is a strong word, you know. But they're solid and they're physical.
E, I got a question for you. A little pop quiz here. You ready? Who is the second oldest coach in the NFL?
Oh, God. The second oldest coach in the NFL.
Second oldest. If you want to bring Jared in, if Jared would like to throw a guess
the
out there.
The second oldest coach
I know it's kind of
in
weird question,
the
but.
NFL is... I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Okay. I'll give you who the oldest one is.
Okay.
Maybe that'll help you. Okay. Coughlin is the oldest coach in the NFL.
Okay.
Tom Coughlin.
Is Bruce Arians the second oldest coach?
The second oldest coach in the NFL is coaching in this game Sunday between Arizona and Seattle.
And it's not Bruce Arians.
And it's not Bruce Arians.
It's not.
Do you know Pete Carroll's the second oldest coach in the NFL?
How old is he? 39?
Yeah, he looks like he's 30. He acts like he's 32. He looks like he's like.
But that, you're right, though.
50?
He's because he's like the Jets. Yeah,
time.
You go way back. So how old is he?
I saw that stat the other day, and I went through it. I was double-checking. I'm like, there's no way that is correct.
Fountain of youth.
Mike Shanahan's 61. Bruce Arians is 61. There's a couple other guys like right in that time frame, 60, 61. Pete Carroll's 62 years old.
What? Oh, my gosh. Wow.
62 years old. Is that crazy? Anyway, let's hear from Pete Carroll on how much he believes the Cardinals have improved.
Cleaner, sharper, better at everything. The run game on defense is the best in the league. They've always had really good, talented guys up front, and they're just getting after it. Carson is really hitting it. You know, they really have come together. You know, you can see how efficient he's been in the last couple months. You know, he's really they just gotten better.
The Cardinals' rush defense has been great this year. Now, one of the problems for Seattle, Marshawn Lynch did not practice yesterday. Again, one of the problems for the Arizona Cardinals, neither did Larry Fitzgerald. You've got to have all your weapons going into this game. Have to, if you're the Arizona Cardinals. I think the Cardinals fall in Seattle, unfortunately. 27-17. You know, won't get out of hand. They'll be in it, but, you know, Seattle's good. They win at home for a reason. That's a tough, tough, tough place to play. This is the Brad Sesmat Show. I am Mark Asher filling in for Brad Sesmat right here on Sports360AZ.com.